listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, and I'm broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. As I always start my shows off, folks, we are viewer-supported stations, so I know times are tough and money's not, money's not really adequate right now for a lot of people, but if you can afford to throw a couple dollars into the kitty for the stations, I know they would much appreciate any help that you can render. Even a couple bucks helps out. So anyways, today I'm joined by Frank Vaughn, and we're talking just before we got on the air here, and I actually haven't talked to Frank now in about 9 months since the onslaught of the scamdemic in our society, I believe, was the last time we had a chat, Frank. So welcome back to the show. Always good to have you on. And yeah, kind of looking forward to this conversation, because there is some crazy stuff going on in our world, and to say that would be an understatement. I know you want to talk about the U.S. election, so let's talk about that a little bit. What's your consensus on what's going on down there right now, Frank?
Well, very simply, like I spelled this out in a video that I put out last night. There's this thing called the Constitution, and the Constitution spells out how the United States picks presidents. It's not the media that picks a president. It's not the voters who pick a president. It's actually a process, and the voters are part of that process. They're jumping the shark, and the reason they started doing this yesterday morning is because they want to build a narrative that is so ubiquitous, and ubiquitous means you're swimming in it, you're drowning in it, it's everywhere. They want to build this narrative of the Biden win and the Kamala Harris win so that it's so big that Monday morning when all the lawsuits start dropping and all these people start swearing affidavits and all the evidence starts coming forward, which is very substantial and real, the narrative is so big, they're hoping the judiciary says, you know what? We're not touching this, because if we do this, it's going to cause too much chaos. People will go crazy, as if they aren't going crazy already. And so they're jumping it. So it's right now, this is a war over who gets to write history. It's a war over who gets to print the money, the fiat currency. It's a war over whether or not the Constitution has any validity anymore. And it's not like it's the first election where cheating's been conducted, but this looks like the biggest cheat in the probably in the history of the Republic. So people have to remember that the judiciary is the next step. The Constitution is written in such a way so that first there's the election, then the vote has to be certified, and that's a judicial process. Then the electors get picked by the states, not by the feds, not by the voters, by the states themselves, the actual senates in those states. And there's something like 30-odd Republican-controlled, I might have my number wrong, but it's a majority of states that are Republican controlled, both in the legislatures and as the governor. So if there's funny business, if the judiciary actually says, you know what, there's widespread evidence, we got to do recounts, we got to do a forensic audit, we got to check every single ballot to make sure that it's actually legal and accurate. If they find the problem, well, then things start getting complicated. So I've been telling people all weekend, because there's a lot of disappointment, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of stuff, and it's like, you know what, take your Sunday. Go outside. This is what I did. Work in the garden. Go outside. Sample the air. And wait until Monday morning when things happen. This thing isn't over yet. And you have to give it the process.
Exactly. I don't think it's even started yet, Frank, myself. And what we're seeing right now is just absolute blatant fraud. on multiple fronts right across the country. And the whistleblowers are all lined up to come forward. I know that like him or hate him, Trump is going to come out swinging with all his pistols in the next couple days. And you're going to see some pretty powerful lawsuits come forward, and that's really going to change the narrative quite a bit. This is just absolutely a propaganda ploy being played by them, Frank, and you're absolutely right in your assessment.
Well, and if I had to advise people, whether it was conservatives, libertarians, or liberals, because I think there's good amongst everybody. I even said the other day, there's probably good communists out there because a lot of them are really young and they just don't know what they're doing. Doesn't mean they're bad people. But the focus now, whether you're a Trump supporter, you're a Trump hater, the focus is on the process. They're trying to take the focus off the Constitution. This isn't about Trump. This is about every single election that stems from this. Now, if Biden won the thing fair and square, then he can have it and we can watch the whole thing burn. As long as it was a fair and square thing. If Joe Jorgensen won, I'd be happy. But this looks dirty, and it needs investigation.
Oh, dirty is an understatement. Frank, come on. I mean, look at everything we've heard so far, and we've just touched the surface. I mean, the election votes coming in the middle of the night, all for Biden. I mean, come on, folks. This stuff just – I'm sounding like Joe Biden right now, aren't I? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
That just doesn't happen. It's a mathematical – it's an impossibility for one – for all ballots to come forward with one man's name on it. And you look at the states that are doing this and who's controlling the Democratic-controlled states, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this blatant fraud. My question is, and my hope is, that the judicial system will do their job, because if they do their job properly, the Republic will be saved, and this will all be exposed. But if they don't, Frank, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose the Republic. It'll be an absolute poop hole in 2 years. Excuse my language. Go ahead.
No, well, we don't just lose the Republic. We lose any chance of actually fixing the other nations. The Americans are the hope of the nation state right now in the world. If America goes away and the internationalists take over, then it pretty well tanks any effort to reawaken the nation state in the other countries. Right. It's very clear to me that one of the side effects of this COVID-19 stuff is it created the conditions where they could finally justify mail-in ballots. And they've been trying to get mail-in ballots since Abe Lincoln. They wanted mail-in back then. And the reason they didn't do it is because it was fraught with peril and fraught with fraud. There's a reason Election Day is fixed. It's fixed no matter what happens. Civil War, World War, doesn't matter what's going on. Election Day is fixed by moving the target, by saying we have to wait until the 12th of November. That's North Carolina. We have to wait these multiple days as the ballots keep streaming in, and then you see them being backdated. This is exactly what everybody's been worried about this entire time, and it's one of those side effects of the advent. I certainly didn't see this pairing coming back in February, March, and April. I didn't see how this would open Pandora's box when it came to voter fraud. Like, this is a defining moment in history, and when we're all dead and we look back on this, we won't be us. It'll be my son. It'll be other people. When they look back on this in 40 and 80 years, the world that they're going to learn about will be fundamentally different depending on what we do right now. There will be a different history written depending on which way this goes. So that's important, too. But there's nothing short of the Republic on the line here. Does anybody believe that Biden got 75 million votes? Hell, I don't even believe that Trump got 71 million. And the reason I don't believe it is because to gain credibility in a liar's eyes, and that's what they are, they're liars, to gain credibility in their own eyes, they're going to have to print ballots for Trump, too, because they got to make it look like Biden pulled ahead, but they have to issue so many for Trump, and they got to try and create some sense of or some illusion of fairness. Like, I think the whole thing is a ruckus, and it needs to be forensically peeled apart.
I absolutely agree. The future of freedom in the world is at stake, Frank, and you were absolutely correct. America is the last line against the globalist agenda being perpetrated on the planet. If the United States goes down, there will be nothing to stop them, especially when you have a president-elect that is going to be running the country. Well, come on, guys, look at what this guy's done. I mean, this man supports abortion up to term, along with Kamala Harris. They both support abortion up to term. Well, how evil is that, Frank? I mean, that alone, I can't believe that he got any votes in the United States of America. But, yeah, there's radicals down there. But to say that, you know, I looked at the lineups for Trump rallies, and I looked at the lineups for Biden rallies, and to tell me all of a sudden the opinion changed overnight and he got that many votes, it all stinks. None of it passed the smell test at all. None of it. So I agree. It's all going to come out this week, Frank. I believe that. I was talking to a couple guys in intelligence down in the States whose opinion I really, really respect. And they reiterated what I just said, that you're going to see some serious stuff come down here in the next couple of days. And so it has to. It has to.
I think there's a very real chance that by next Friday, we are in the midst of some – we'll be reading headlines about the chaos in the inner cities, I think. I mean, I don't like to make predictions. But you got what Giuliani's doing. You got what's happening in Georgia. You got what's happening in Arizona, Nevada. You got stuff coming in from all over the place. You got the quote unquote glitch. No, we're talking about hammer and scorecard and all this other stuff. But let's use their terms. Suppose it is a freaking glitch. You got 6,000 votes that just flipped over to Biden from Trump. They were supposed to go Trump. It's in, I think it's 40 odd counties in Michigan. But it's the same program that's used in 33 states. And another thing is the people who are responsible for those machines are the same people that were responsible for the Canadian federal election. We introduced for the first time machine counting. Now, it saves all the ballots, and you can get reviews, and you can look at anything you want. I still think the process is relatively transparent, but it starts. And it happens to be that that's the company that – license those machines for use in Canadian federal elections. So there's so much on the line here. And that's why it's so important to focus on not just Trump. Like, because honestly, in my opinion, what you have to do when you're trying to talk to the left, when you're trying to talk to liberals, and I've been doing that for days now. I mean, I'm burning all my extra time trying to talk to them because I don't want to talk to people who agree. I want to talk to people who disagree and try and figure out how to reach them. And then the thing is, you need to tell them, look, I know you hate Trump. I know he sounds goofy. I know he was born in Queens. He's got that accent. I know you don't like the way his face looks. I know he's the world's greatest troll, and his whole purpose sometimes seems to be to make you angry. But it ain't about him. It's about the process. It's about the Constitution. It's about fair elections within a democratic republic. That's it.
That's what's at stake right now, Frank. Yeah, you're right. That's it. Nothing to do with – I mean, this is an all-out coup attempt by the left. And, you know, they're not going to get away with this, Frank. I honestly believe that, the truth is going to come out here. And I honestly hope and believe that heads are going to roll.
Well, here's the thing, Barry.
If they don't, we're in real serious trouble. Go ahead.
I apologize. I was thinking about this before and then I forgot it. Trump's entire gambit, because it wasn't like electoral fraud hasn't happened in the United States in the past. It just hasn't been this big. So 2016, there was fraud present, but Trump was popular enough that he beat it. So his whole strategy moving through 2016 into 2020 has been appoint the judges. It's something like hundreds of federal judges. Get that Supreme Court ready so that maybe in 2020 he stood a shot, especially when mail-in balloting became such a thing in the United States and such a necessity, and they started doing all this arcane stuff. His whole gamble on re-election, because he knew they were going to do this, he knew they were going to try something to take him down, was the judiciary. So the thing about this is there is a plan. There is an idea, but, you know, you'd use an example in 1941 when the Nazis invaded the Soviets. They had a plan. The Soviets didn't. Eventually, the Soviets got their stuff together and they had a plan. And these two plans competed, and one plan beat the other plan. So the idea that this is a sure thing and that it automatically is going to work out well, that is something we shouldn't do. We should all be pushing. We should all be trying to have the conversation. We should all be putting the information out in any way we can to tell people this is processional. We have to do this, and we can't take anything for granted because it's not done, and Trump is not guaranteed a victory, and justice is not guaranteed to be served. So it really is up to the people. Make a noise.
Yeah, the biggest noise you've ever made in your life, because the judiciary has to do its job here, Frank. What's at stake here really is just – it's monumental what's at stake. And if they don't do their job, like I said, we're going to lose it all. But I believe in the end they will do their job. I know that Trump has appointed a lot of judges in the last few years here to the Supreme Court, and I believe they're going to get involved. I was given some really, really good information that I don't really want to say too much on the air here today, Frank, but I do, like I said, I do have a couple people that are really inside, and I was told this week that heads are going to roll, that there will be arrests made, so we'll just see what happens. I hope that happens. It has to happen, and I'm praying that it does, Frank. It just needs to be exposed to the American people. This is something very serious. This isn't about, like you said, about Trump or Biden. It's about the process. It's about the rule of law. It's about the Constitution, which is under threat right now.
Which Constitution is that, Barry?
The American Constitution.
Now there's two of them.
Okay. You wanted to say something, Frank, or Steve?
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Everybody's missing the point. Absolute truth. Donald J. Trump was the president of the Corporation of the United States. He was not the president of the United States. Do you know what the corporation is, Barry? Frank?
I get the idea that you're going to go down the free man on the land thing.
No, I don't know a darn thing about free man. I don't know a darn thing about sovereignty either. I do know that United States Corporation, that 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., is a corporation. Donald Trump was the president of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, it's a structure. Like, it's a structured thing. It's a corporate structure. It controls the military, all the branches of government. It's just a structure. So he was in charge.
He was in charge of Washington, D.C. He was in charge of the corporation.
Oh, well, D.C.'s set up that way. It's the seat of government.
So is London. So is Vatican City.
That's true.
So is Israel.
That's true.
So what's
I don't know how that changes the outcome.
Nothing concerns us.
What is the solution to that problem, Steve? We're all aware of it. We all know what's going on inside governments and who they're actually serving and who's looking after who.
Voting doesn't do anything. Voting means nothing.
So what would
slaves
you
can't
do?
Vote. Slaves cannot
what would you
vote.
Do? What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah, what's your solution? Like, what's the if voting doesn't matter and all there is D.C. and Trump isn't president of everything, like, we just fold up and quit? Is that the
allegedly there was
no point?
Allegedly there was 147 million people that voted, allegedly. Well, if 100 million didn't vote in 4 years, that would send a message. 200 million voting next election process, selection process. They're going to love that. They are absolutely going to love that. 240 million Americans in 2024 vote. They're going to absolutely love that because they have us by the short and curlies. That's what that means. If instead of 147 million voting in 2024, if 70 million people voted, they would take notice and they would actually be scared. They're not scared of anybody right now. They're not scared of anything.
Well, that does seem to be the case because they're just going full bore ahead with this, regardless of what the press has got to say or anybody else has got to say. You know, they've got the press in their back pocket. And what Frank said in the beginning of the show, I really tend to agree with that. They're just going to ramp this up and ramp it up, that that the judiciary might not want to even look at this. And if that happens, you are going to see riots in the United States of America. I believe you're going to see riots either way. So it's really kind of an interesting time right now, how it's going to play out. None of us know for sure, but we know that something's going to give. Because the American people aren't going to stand for this. There's a lot of Americans right now that are absolutely on the edge of their chair. They're livid about what's going on. So are they going to use that? Are they going to play that against us? Good question. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think if the constitutionally constructed republic is actually serving its purpose, then I think there's every validity to voting. There's validity to voting in your sheriffs. There's validity to voting in your county representatives. There's validity in voting for the state legislature. And there's validity voting in the federal election. But you have to make sure that the vote is actually representative of what the people want. There actually, there's a process there, and it's built America, and that process was built fighting the City of London and fighting the Rothschild banks and fighting that banking class. That's what America was built to do. Andrew Jackson ran into trouble when he went up against the banks and beat them. And it's been a long time since the Federal Reserve Act was passed. But that's what this is about. It's to me, the overarching battle is over who is printing the money and where the money's going to go. We're not fighting for perfection. We're fighting, if we're fighting for anything, we're fighting for to preserve what's left of the constitutional republic, so that perhaps down the road you could actually push back against some of these more structural, fundamentally structural problems. Every time they print money, every time they issue treasuries and they walk across the road and the Federal Reserve buys them, all they're doing is stealing money out of your pockets via inflation, which is, we always talk about, don't tax the people, we got to lower taxes. And even Trump does this. I've said this about Trump in the past. Whenever he's talking about, we're not going to tax you. Well, inflation is a tax. However, it's more complex than that. The president does not control Congress, and they control the purse. So they can issue treasuries whenever they want. They can walk across the road. The Fed can buy them up, and automatically the dollars in your pocket are worth less. And it's not just Americans. It's actually Canada now, because the Federal Reserve underwrites Canadian debt, New Zealand's debt, British debt. We do it forever. They do it for everybody all over the world. So, I mean, there is a subtext and a substructure, and really there's no perfect answer right now. But what I do know is what's in front of my eyes, and that is that the international financial class really has it in for Trump. The left has it in for Trump. They have it in for the process. They don't want to have to go through this again. I'm still of the opinion that Trump was an anomaly when he showed up in 16 or in 15 rather and announced his run. And he came from, he's like a rebel billionaire. He still represents a certain oligarchy, if you want to call it that, still represents a certain interest group. But it's not the international financial interest group, and that's the difference. It's a step in the right direction. That's why they want to get rid of him. They want to crush it right now. And this is out of time, too, and this is so important. Reality itself is becoming malleable. So if you can make videos where you can make anybody say whatever you want them to say, and you can pump that out on the internet, and it's completely fake, it's a complete deep fake, if you can fake audio with just a 10-second clip of somebody talking, you could create a – somebody could right now, if they wanted to, create a Frank Vaughn podcast. They could spell Vaughn, V-O-N. They could use my voice and create 40 minutes of me talking, and I never said any of those words.
Yeah, scary, isn't
it? Imagery scary. Is – well, it's critical that good people work to try and get somewhat of control of the narrative right now, because the narrative itself, the attention economy, there's so much, we're swimming in it. What was it, though? Was it a CIA director who said, when everything the public believes is fake, our job will be done? Was that the CIA or was that the NSA? I can't remember. But that's
CIA.
We're getting to that point. I mean, this is and there's people who think that Trump is part of the whole thing, and that they've gamed it out, and they make sure the money from the big financial interests isn't flowing into his coffers. They're going to Biden. There's people who think that it's all just a big game for deeper thinkers to look at and go, okay, this guy's different. And I suppose that could be true. But look, this is our Alamo. So you kind of just got to pick a direction and go.
Yeah, whether it be the worst of two evils, there's only one choice right now, logically, to even stem the tide of what's going on in the world, and that's Donald Trump. I mean, look at Joe Biden's record. Look at his son. Look at his involvement in Russia. Look at all the – it's just dirt, dirt, dirt. No matter where you look with this guy, and it's 47 years in power. It's just dirt after dirt. How can a guy like that be president of the United States of America? Well, we know that this is the most rigged situation I've ever seen in my life, that there's just no way there's that many stupid Americans out there that would vote this guy in. I mean,
Frank,
this is going to be put down. I've been told that. I'm going to believe that. I believe that this is all going to be exposed, and the results of this election are going to be churned over, and that that Trump will be named president. I'm hoping that's what happens, but
Joe,
we're in real trouble.
Joe Biden is willing to appear on camera, grabbing other people's children by the hip and clutching them, smelling their hair and whispering in their ear.
Pitching them.
look,
putting his hands right on the breast of a young girl. That's right on video. Come on, guys. This guy should be in jail.
Well, and this is something about our time that we live in right now. Child abuse is, it's not hard to reach out and find somebody. It's not hard in my life to find somebody that was abused as a child when they were young. You sit them down and you make them look at what Joe Biden's done, and they all say the same thing. That guy right there, he's Pervy Joe. It's not right. And if Trump was doing that, if Trump was grabbing other people's children by the crotch, by the breast, by the hip, whispering in their ear, it would be a media fiasco. On it would be the highest level of scandal. But Joe is fine. Joe's fine. And that's on top of the fact that, honestly, I know people say a lot of different things, but he really does appear to be on the verge of dementia or senility. Like, that guy, I don't think he gets an office. Or if he gets an office, he's pulled. Like, he's 25th Amendmented, or they'll say to him, because he doesn't know where he is, they'll say to him, Joe, you saved America, or Joe, you did your job. And, you know, if you step aside now and you say to the public, I'm in mental decline, I just wanted to beat Trump, you will be remembered as a national hero, and we'll make sure of it. And that's how they'll build that narrative. Biden will be – he will be remembered as a national hero. Isn't that just sick?
And of course,
it's,
so long will come Kamala Harris, and who will be her vice president? Let me think now, Frank. Nancy Pelosi. Come on. And those two people ever got control of the United States of America. Well, I can't go to Mars. I can't go to the moon. But I definitely want to get off this planet, Frank, because it's just going to be absolute bedlam if they ever get power. And I can't for one minute believe that the American people are going to let that happen. I still have to believe there's enough good Americans that are going to stand up against this. Go ahead.
I've been thinking about this a lot as I work, especially over the last few days. There's a ton of ways that this can play. If say the judiciary doesn't act and they certify the vote and they say Trump is or Biden's actually won this thing, the left will start eating itself right away. It's not Biden that goes into the presidency, and it will be Harris that goes into the presidency, or at least that's what my thought is. But there's three different camps within the Democrat Party who want to go, and they're all pretty leftist, and they're already starting to nip at each other. The left will eat itself and this has happened in the past too. Like if you want to go back to the Russian Revolution before Lenin took over, I mean, it was so divided, and Lenin was not popular. We're talking about a guy who commanded 20-25% of support within the entire movement. He ended up becoming dictator of one of the biggest countries on earth. So it's there's a lot of ways it can play, but I don't think it's clear if Biden gets in office or Biden and Harris are declared the winner. I don't think it's clear that the left is unified. In fact, I think there's substantial evidence to suggest they will start eating themselves right away, because Cortez and the Four Horsemen, they hate Pelosi. They hate her camp. There's a lot of infighting just sitting under the surface. And once the orange man's gone, I mean, I don't want an unfair election to go away. But at the same time, if you remove Trump from the equation, what have they got? Nothing unifies them anymore, and all of a sudden the media has no reason to exist other than to promote propaganda. But for who? What camp? I don't think anything's entirely clear.
That's a really, really interesting point you made, Frank. I kind of thought about that a little bit, and I've been looking at all different ways that this could actually play out. And regardless, the fact is that we at this point have to stop this. We cannot allow him to be president of the United States of America, because if it gets to that point, then we truly are going to lose it. So we have to stop it before it gets to that point. I was also told that, you know, Trump has a couple aces up his sleeve that he's going to play in the next couple weeks, and a lot of it's got to do with the Hunter Biden laptop and the proceedings going on there, and a lot of that information is going to be put out. I think we're into a really interesting time here in the next couple weeks, Frank. I've got my popcorn. And I know we got a front row seat to this. So how it's all going to play out, none of us are exactly sure, but there's lots of different ways it could go. It really could. You know, their ultimate goal is to be to have a one world government, to have a one world situation. I mean, we see that being pushed all over the world right now. We see what's going on in New Zealand. The fact that they're actually building quarantine camps in Canada right now. And I know you're aware of that, Frank. but they have now been verified that the government's actually building quarantine camps in Canada. And, you know, my God, they got barbed wire, double-faced barbed wire, and it looks like almost like guard towers set up on the outside of these camps. What's going on there, Frank? Nothing to see, right? Nothing.
Well, it's so interesting the last 9 months and the way things have progressed, because back when I was making videos about this phenomena that was happening in China, January, February, March, I think when I looked back yesterday, that was when the body of my work was happening. And at that time, every single nation in the world, including the United States and Canada, was saying, there's no problem here. It's the common cold. You'll just get a sniffle. It's all good. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking there's a deeper plot here, because there's a gain of function characteristic within COVID-19, which is it's actually been mapped. We have the mapping of it. It came from that lab in Wuhan. So what was the purpose? What was the purpose of the creation of this thing? Or was it a leak and they just came up with a plan for how to maximize it? But they were saying it was nothing. Now, and this was the thing too, because back then we didn't have anything here, at least, you know, supposedly we didn't have anything here. And it's like, okay, people come back from China, it makes sense. If you're worried about this unknown factor that's going on in China, then you quarantine people that are coming back from plague zones. You temporarily impact their freedom so that you don't have to take away mine. And they all said that thinking was racist. We can't dare impact the movement of non-citizens, because it would be unfair to them. It would be xenophobic and racist. And if you remember when Trump finally acted, he shut down air traffic from China. Everybody called him a racist. Front page CBC for 2 days was how terrible he was. Then the European ban on flights from Italy that he put in. He was one of the first people who acted on the thing. But it's like they missed the opportunity to quarantine individuals. And this is if you accepted at the time that it could have been a threat, that would have been a sensible thing to do at that point. The other thing would have been if – because I remember I talked about this back in the day, that if COVID-19 is going to be this big deal, because you had all this research, you had this lab thing, you had all these things, a lot of moving parts. It was a story, and a lot of people weren't pursuing that thing. It was like there was a few of us out here on our own trying to puzzle this thing out before it actually blew up on the world stage, and the government reacted to it, which was one of my biggest concerns, is when they start acting on this, look at what's going to – it's going to happen. So you might want to be ready to just sort of avoid that situation. It's like all of a sudden everything flipped. So like contact tracing, for instance. Contact tracing only makes sense at the beginning of an epidemic. Once the epidemic is ubiquitous, there's no point contact tracing everybody anymore, because they're all going to get it. So they allowed enough time for this thing to come in. And then there's the, you know, the testing where they're doing 40 to 45 cycles, which makes the PCR test completely useless. Right. There's so many things that could have made a difference and could have made sure that we didn't have our freedoms taken away en masse. I saw a guy the other day, he had no New Brunswick license plate. So I stopped him and I said to him, how'd you get out of the province? He's like, I can leave the province, but I can't get back in unless I apply. So even though all of his properties in New Brunswick, even though everything he owns is down there, he can't get back into the place where he pays taxes without getting special permission from the government just to come to Ontario. It's like, how did we get to this point? And the way we got there is A, they said it was nothing. B, then they said it was something. C, then they clamped down on everything. And now D, they don't want to let go. And it's time. We know far more now than we did back in March. This thing hurts. It seems to hurt old people. It seems to hurt the elderly. We can protect them. We got to get back living. It's dangerous for kids to not be socializing. It's dangerous for people to not be socializing. It's dangerous that people aren't getting pre-screening. Man, if you want to go to the hospital and actually get a test for something, it's difficult to do even right now in small town Ontario. There's babies dying because they can't get the stuff they need. So the cure can't be worse than the thing it's trying to tackle. Like it's
insane, Frank.
Yeah,
it's insane. It really is. It, you know, I've looked at it for months here, and what you just talked about is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we could get into the damage done to society, what it's done with suicide rates, with child abuse in families, with marriages breaking up, financial situations across the country. We know that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of small businesses have closed now and aren't going to reopen. 25,000 in British Columbia is the number that I'm reading, and they're telling me that 80% of those will not reopen. But Walmart, Canadian Tire, Safeway, Save-On,
McDonald's, Wendy's,
they all did great because, You know, they're the corporate guys that are supporting the government. People got to realize that this whole thing is the biggest, to me, it's bigger than 9/11. It's the biggest scam ever played on the human race. And I say that because I'm a numbers type of guy. And I'm not, like I said, I've looked at these numbers for months and months and months, and there's just absolutely no reason they should be doing what they're doing to society right now. But they're drunk. They've got a new level of power over people that they've never experienced before. They released the fear virus in society. Everybody ran and hid under their couches like good little citizens. I don't want to say what I call them, but good little citizens they are. And they got the reaction from the public they wanted to see, Frank. This is a test. Now watch what happens. They got the second wave and the third wave. And what's going to happen when they really unleash something that's got some bite on people? Something actually knocking people down, and we actually see the hospitals full. Well, we're going to see medical tyranny, frankly, like we've never seen before. They're talking about a vaccine for what they're going to give the whole population a vaccine, Frank, when 99.97% of people that come in contact with this killer virus are never affected or have complete recovery from it. What kind of insanity is that, man?
Well, I mean, first of all, an RNA virus is a very hard thing to try and create a vaccine against in the first place. It's a moving target. This thing, even in its minor form, like it changes so much over time, and it changes fairly quickly. So it's very difficult to develop a vaccine for it. So they'll go from vaccine for it to you need this thing every year. It'll be another flu shot. It'll make a pile of money all over the place. But it's not just the restrictions that they've taken. It's the segues. So as we've already discussed, COVID-19 justifies mail-in ballots, and that's the power grab in the United States. Very useful to take advantage of this right now to try and make sure that you can steal the presidency and steal elections for the rest of time. Another segue is what's happening here in Ontario. I believe the bill is called 155, but Doug Ford, supposedly the great conservative hero here in Ontario, what they're saying is they're going to regulate climate change the same way they regulate healthcare, the same way they regulate the COVID-19 crisis, because climate change presents an existential threat and it impacts human health. So we're going to regulate you as a human being for your own safety, and we're going to do it the same. Like, you should read this bill. So this is it. They're going to try and figure out a way. They couldn't get the climate change thing. People were skeptical of carbon taxes. It's low on the priority. I mean, what was it, In the United States, when they asked people what was the most important thing determining your vote this election, 10% of people said climate change. Like, it's at the bottom of the list. So now they got a way. Now they got a way to segue into, okay, we got to build back better. You see, everybody's got that motto. We got to build back better. We got to build back greener, which is code word for it. We have to deindustrialize the West and ship everything overseas and give the world to China. That's what that means. We got to build back better in China somehow, and we lose. But that's what they're doing. They're segueing. They don't want to let this go. And the other thing too, politicians. And then I'm sorry, I'll shut up. But politicians.
Frank, you're on a roll.
politicians are cowards. They're all cowards. I've never met a brave politician in my life. I've met nice ones. I've met good ones, but they don't exactly exude bravery. And the thing is here is the rank and file politician who's just going to parliament or going to the provincial legislature to cast their ballot or cast their vote on legislation, all this stuff, they're kind of just putting in time. And these guys don't want to lose their job. So if they take their foot off the pedal, and the consensus view is that cases go up and deaths go up and hospitalizations go up, well, they're going to be blamed for that in the media. So they're scared to take their foot off the throat of the people. There's so many human forces. So many of our individual flaws all playing together in this moment. This is an incredible time. It's an interesting time, that's for sure. I'm glad I'm alive for it, but it's kind of scary too.
Well, it's scary, but it is fascinating to see this all unfold. You know, we can go back to shows, you know, we did 6 years ago, Frank, and we were talking about all the different mechanisms they'd use to bring society to its knees. And this was talked about multiple times. I've gone back and listened to some of the shows I did 5 or 6 years ago, and we talked about this.
Say, Barry.
We talked about the collapse of the dollar. Yes, Steve?
Can I add something else in there when you get done?
Yeah, just let me finish my thought here. But, you know, now we see all these different things coming to light. really our financial situation worldwide. We're literally a pinprick away from a complete collapse of all financial systems in the world. That's a fact. And, of course, these people do control the money. If they wanted to really create chaos in society, all they'd have to do is collapse the dollar. And overnight, you have total chaos in society. And we know out of chaos always comes control. So along comes the government with the answer to the problem. And that will be a one-world currency. I believe that's all coming to play here. I see the setup for the cashless society coming. I see the RFID chip now being really kind of the cool new thing to do. Put a little chip in your wrist. You never have to carry a wallet, a watch, nothing. You can open doors, access your bank account, buy food. All you have to do is swipe your hand. Isn't that cool, folks? And that's how it's going to be sold. Combine that with a cashless society, and you've got the setup for complete control of society, period. Go ahead, Steve. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, Frank asked me earlier what the solution was. Or, I mean, what do we do or whatever. I think it's how he said it. You stop capitulating with this system. You stop recognizing this system, and you stop feeding this beast. There are people that are doing that, and they don't call themselves freemen on the land or sovereign or anything like that. They call themselves men and women. You call yourself a person, or you call yourself a citizen, or you even call yourself a human. You're part of the system, because all three of them characterizations are, if you want to look them up in the law, the Black Laws Dictionary, the legal dictionaries that they use for writing their laws, humans, people, person, citizens, they're all considered monsters. They're all considered animals. You know, you can, God gave dominion over the land and the animals and the plants. God gave dominion to man over earth. You call yourself a person, you're calling yourself an animal. You don't believe me? Anyone can look that up in the Black Laws Dictionary. There are people over in Europe right now, and probably some here in America and Canada, that they get characterized as freemen on the land or sovereign citizens. But they are living free of this tyranny, and they're not in jail.
I would say they're not in jail yet.
Yes. Well, they've been living there for years. They've been doing this for years.
When it comes right down,
when a hammer comes down, there's not going to be a safe place to go. Go ahead, Frank.
That's just it. I mean, you're subject whether you think or believe you are or not. It's like people say that the Canadian government is de facto, and my answer to that is, who cares? Who cares what it is? It's real. It's real in the mind of the populace, and that's really what dictates. Power is not something that is legally construed. Power is something that's taken. Most governments that are on Earth, including the American
power
government,
is given.
Oh, power's taken. Power's taken.
By the butt of a barrel, yes.
Of course, but that's history. I'm not going to sit here and try and deny the way that history works, that the American government, the way it's set up, the Constitution itself, was done illegally. The French republics were all torn down illegally. Governments are seldom construed legally under the old regime. So we are subject to a system, whether we like it or not. We pay income taxes, whether we like it or not. So my thinking is, you have to figure out a way to work that system. You have to figure out a way to push back against it, and you have to you got to be involved, because otherwise you're just paying for it.
It's on the local level.
Yeah, well, that I agree 100%.
Ron Stevens.
Local communities.
Local level.
It's just you've got the state. You got this state hovering over your head. You got to watch them, because if we don't pressure the state, it will come at us more and more and more. Look at what's happening right now. The thing is, as much as we might not want lockdowns, as much as we might want to walk away from it, as much as I don't wear a mask, there's a lot of things I don't do, as much as that's all the case, there's a whole lot more people out there, especially in Canada, who are totally compliant.
Yep.
I see them, I talk to them, I ask them questions. A lot of them, they're just trying to get by. They're like, you know what? I got to go work my job. I got to go get my wage, my fixed wage. They don't know how to be entrepreneurial or break free of that chain of you call it wage slavery. Mm-hmm. They're working their 10, 12 hours at their job. They're going home. They got two or three hours for the family, and news media consists of 15 minutes scrolling on the phone during break at work. Those people are – they're not bad people. They're just trying to get by. They're just trying – they don't have enough time. Their attention's all sucked up by the way that we've structured things. So – and they're bought in. I mean, they're bought in as a result of that. So it's kind of a mission to get them to sort of see it more broadly and to push back. Because the rest of us who are maybe seeing things in stereo, which I think includes everybody in this at this table, whether we have differences or disagreements, I think we all understand the overarching menace that hangs over our head, that sword of Damocles. We have to try and rationalize with it, or at least I do. I don't know how to not be involved in at least talking about it or trying to shape it somehow for what little part that I can put in.
Yeah, I agree, Frank. You know, you look at the situation in most families now, both parents have got to work. They're under tremendous stress with their jobs, with everything else that's going on around them right now, with all these new norms in society. They just want to be left alone and live their lives, but the noose is going tighter and tighter and tighter. And like you said, if we don't stop it, these people will not stop. The only way they're going to stop is if they get massive, massive pushback from the citizens of this country. And I'm hoping they wake up enough to do that, Frank. You know what I am seeing, and I'll let you talk, but real quickly, I am seeing in general conversations, years ago people were calling me a conspiracy nut, where's your tinfoil hat? Didn't really pay too much attention to what I was saying. All of a sudden, those people are really engaging in serious heart-to-heart conversations because they know something's really messed up in Denmark, and they're getting concerned. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, and just on that point, I think calling people conspiracy nuts or anything, it's just lazy, and I think people are starting to recognize it as lazy. But I'm sure you guys seen that World Economic Forum video.
Yeah,
but that's just scary stuff. I mean, right off the hop, saying we're going to abolish private property, you're going to rent everything, and you're going to be happier. And they've got that marketing clip behind it of the guy's face just blooming into a smile. Like this is like you read sci-fi books. You read, I mean, this is Ayn Rand. This is Atlas Shrugged. That's where we're at. Except it's much more technological. Same with Orwell's 1984. Like we're there. We are there. If you thought we were there 20 years ago, because I kind of thought I did, we're there now. We're there now.
20 years ago, it was all being set up, Frank. The little pieces have all been put into place. You know, 9/11 was kind of the major trigger point, as far as I'm concerned, for their agenda. But this agenda that's unfolding on us right now was thought about 50, 60 years ago in think tanks by very, very evil people.
Yeah.
They laid out how society was going to go, how they were going to manipulate society, how they're going to make us the weakest people in the world now, what they're going to bring in for vaccine programs. Everything they've done to us, our food, our water, everything is poison. And you wonder why people don't have the desire to stand up. I know people now, Frank, they drag themselves through the day. They're just totally drained of energy, and they're wondering why is this all this stuff happening to us? Well, it's a multiple attack coming from so many different angles that, you know, it just boggles my mind when I start going down these rabbit holes, and you find other rabbit holes, and they're all connected. And you know what? They all come back to the same place, Frank. They all come back to the same place, that this agenda is so deep that it's hard for me sometimes to wrap my mind around what they're doing and how all this is being brought to the forefront now, that they set us up over years and years and years to get society where they are right now. The indoctrinations in our schools, our health, everything else is all part of a massive plan. And now we're starting to see the results of it. We are in crazy, crazy times right now. It's a pinnacle, I believe, in human history. And if we don't stop it, our children, I believe, will be standing over our graves and cursing our names, Frank. I hate to say that, but I honestly believe it because it's in our face. There's no excuse for not knowing what's going on in your world right now, folks. There's no excuse for you to be complacent because it's your duty. I look at my children and my grandchildren. I know you've got a beautiful little boy now, Frank, and you think it's just like, man, this stuff is coming, and you know you want to protect him, and you're going like, you know, these guys are really out to destroy our world, and we're all going to be in a lockdown, high Hitler situation here in the future. None of us want that for our children. None of us want that as a future, but it's coming, and it's real, and that motivates me every day, my friend. Go ahead, Frank. Hate to get into a rant, but boy, this is really getting out of hand.
No, and I, you know, northern BC is, it looks better all the time, the same as anywhere else that's about as far away as you can get. But I do. My son has changed everything in my life. The only thing I wish is that I had had him 5 years ago, because I'd probably have about four children by now if that was the case. I gotta catch up. But it changes how I live. It's changed how I live. It's changed how I operate on a daily basis, because now I'm not just shaping my own life anymore. I'm shaping his perception. The things that he's going to remember, the way that I remember my parents and the way that I remember my circumstances, is the way that he's going to remember. The underlying programming is there. So I got to try and be the best human being I can be. I got to try and be the best example I can be. And of course, I'm only human. I'm flawed, and everybody's got a different strategy. And it's another thing that's, you know, you'll never hear me belittling somebody for, you know, voting libertarian or not participating in the process, for that matter. I mean, if that's the conclusion that you've come to, then by all means, do it. I think most people are trying to do the right thing. But here's another example. I was talking to a guy the other day, and we were talking about all this, and he said, well, you know, how, because you were just saying there's so many rabbit holes and they all intertwine. And so I'm talking to this guy, and I offered him, I said, I'll give you a half hour. I will give you a half hour, and I will do my best to explain. He's like, I haven't got a half hour. You need to explain it to me in 2 minutes. Can't do that. Like, yeah, I can't do that. Everybody wants these bite sized. Can you give it to me in a tweet? No, I can't. I can't give it to you in a tweet. You can't figure this out. You can't take the red pill with a 2 minute anything. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of detail. And even then, as you know, there's so many pieces, trying to keep them all together in your head is a difficult task too, because it's just giant. One thing leads into another thing, leads into another thing, leads into another thing, and you talk yourself into a circle.
You're absolutely correct. All little pieces of a puzzle, Frank. They don't mean much when they're by themselves, but you start putting them together, and you get to see the picture that's really going on around us here, and it's a pretty scary picture, my friend. And it's what motivates me. I, you know, having children in my life, Frank, same thing. I changed everything, my perspective on life and what was my priorities and what was really important. And the love that I felt for my children, I've never experienced that love in my life. It was the most rewarding time in my life. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. But I see now what's coming for the children of this earth, and it just terrifies me. We're going to try and do everything we can to stop it. I mean, we can't turn our backs on this now. It's absolutely impossible to ever ignore what's going on. Our heart won't let us do that. That we're committed to this, and it breaks our heart that so many Canadians and so many people around us just can't take a few minutes to really look at the dangers facing our society and get involved with us. It scares me when I go to the malls and see 75% or 85% of the people wearing a mask. Those same people, Frank, when they mandate a vaccine, are the first ones that are going to roll up their sleeves. And boy, I don't even want to get into the vaccine issue right now, because that's insanity beyond insanity. But it's all part of what's coming down the tube if we don't stop this, my friend.
I cannot see for the life of me now. And this is, maybe I'm just being stubborn because, you know, the world is so corrupt. I cannot see how a mandatory vaccine is ever going to get by a constitutional challenge. I mean, our healthcare system, even here in Canada, is based on participation, willful participation. So, like, you have to consent to every single thing that happens to you in the healthcare system. To mandate a vaccine is a fundamental violation of a human being's sovereignty over their body. And I think that they'll build a case. So they might try to ostracize you. They might try to socially segregate you. Maybe they will try to mandate it. But we got to go to the Supreme Court over that one. And I've throughout my life, other than the flu shot and the HPV thing, I don't like that one either. But I mean, when I cut myself wide open, there was, I think last, it was 2 Marches ago, I was doing some renovations on the house, and we had this drywall sheeting, and I went to throw it up on my van, and I cut the palm of my hand wide open. I needed multiple stitches and everything else when I went to the hospital. And they said, have you had your tetanus shot? And I said, I think it's been 10, 12 years. And they said, well, do you want one? I said, yeah, I'll take one. Cause I don't want lockjaw. I've taken various vaccines, but it's by consent. It's by consent every time. I don't want nothing to do with a flu shot because I think that's a money-making scheme. It doesn't – everybody I know that gets the thing gets sick. And it's a crapshoot. And now they're going to talk about you got to have a COVID vaccine that's been raced through regulatory processes, that they're testing it. People are getting sick, all this other stuff. And it's all in the name of fighting an RNA virus, which you can't vaccinate against anyway, over something that seems to only target the elderly. And we all got to have it? Like that makes no sense to me.
Health Canada came out and stated they can't isolate this virus, Frank. So what are we going to what are we testing for? What are we going to vaccinate against, folks? This vaccination program, you've got that the line is going to be drawn in the sand. And I know that there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Canadians that feel the same way I do, that, you know, this is medical tyranny. It contravenes the Genova, the Nuremberg trials of 1946. It contravenes
everything,
Geneva Convention, everything, our Charter of Rights and Freedom. It contradicts all those, and the line has to be drawn, Frank, because medical tyranny is absolutely one step away from full blown communism. Where we're heading right now, do have time. I do believe we have time to stem it. You know what, Frank? We only got a couple minutes here, 1 minute left. So I'm going to let you. I have to let you go here. The hour. I knew this hour was going to fly. But I'm going to let you just share a last thought and where people can reach in the study. Sorry, buddy, we've run out of time.
No, it's all good, man. I always enjoy it. And the last thought I'll put out there is to put in everybody's mind, if it's not already there, is what happened to China? How come the communist totalitarian society on the other side of the planet, how come they seem to be COVID-19 free and they're going about living their lives and doing their thing, but the West is just brought to its knees over this thing? Like, it's incredibly suspicious. As far as me, frankvaughn.ca, that's Frank, VAUGHAN.ca. I put all my work up there. I'm going to be getting much more in depth as we progress into the winter, into the long dark of the winter. Right now, I'm still busy on the farm, but I'm trying to put out a video every day, every other day, and trying to keep on top of this stuff and trying to keep it as balanced as I can without closing my eyes to any possibilities.
Well, Frank, all I can say is Canada really needs you right now. Folks, follow Frank Vaughn and his work. One of the more intelligent gentlemen I get to talk to on the radio. And I want to thank you for coming in today, Frank, and sharing an hour of my time. Your time with us, and maybe I can get you back here in the near future. We can have another conversation because there was a lot of stuff today, buddy. I had a list written down here. I didn't even get to the second point on the list. So,
I appreciate it. I think you're a great guy, Barry. I think you guys both do good work. You produce a good show, and I'm always happy to talk. God bless you both.
I'm going to take you up on that, Frank, and thanks for coming in today. Hang around, folks. I got Billy Joyce joining me here in about 5 minutes, and Billy's got lots to talk about today. So thanks again, Frank, for coming in, and I'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Hang around, please. Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Frank Vaughn for coming in. I always love talking with that man. Super intelligent guy, and like I said, follow his work. Second hour, joined by another super intelligent guy. Billy Joyce has joined me. I haven't had a chance to talk to Billy now for, I don't know, maybe a couple months now, Billy, since we got chatted. So welcome back to the show, and I know you're watching what's going on down the United States of America, and I'm kind of getting a little bit of a chuckle out of it because, you know, I'm absolutely a firm belief that this is all going to come to light here in the next 3 or 4 days. And I'm saying that, Billy, because I do have a couple people down in the States, and I mentioned in the first hour there, that are very, very well connected and whose opinion I respect, who have provided information in the past that I've never been able to say didn't come true or was false. So that being said, I'm of the firm belief that that this charade will fall apart. What do you think?
Well,
welcome to the show, by the way, Billy.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for having me. I've been pondering it. I don't know if you're aware or not, but my YouTube channel got completely removed from YouTube. On Twitter, some of my posts are being shadow banned, and on Facebook, same thing. Everything's being fact checked. So I kind of became an observer over the last month or so, like on a national or international level. I mean, I still run the local radio station and I still do commentary there, but I've just kind of taken a back seat and kind of observed what's going on. And you could almost see this coming when they announced that 90 million votes had been sent for either absentee ballots or mail-in ballots. I was like, the fix is in. I was like, there's no way that 90 million people voted by mail-in ballot. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And then when Pennsylvania changed their laws and Vegas, Nevada changed their laws to allow for votes to come in well beyond Election Day. Mm-hmm. And then you saw Election Day happen, you know, Trump's up by almost 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania at midnight, my time. And then we're going to stop counting. And then He's ahead in Pennsylvania. He's ahead in Michigan. He's ahead in Wisconsin. He's ahead in Georgia at the time. He's ahead in North Carolina at the time as well. And I don't know if I mentioned Pennsylvania, but mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right, 700,000. Anyway, go to bed, wake up the next morning, and geez,
Magic happens.
I mean,
you got to laugh at the insanity of it, Billy, because it's so obvious.
Right. And then, okay, well, now we're going to count mail-in ballots, but we're going to put cardboard on the windows and we're going to lock the doors and you're not allowed in to observe. Now, I ran in a federal election and I know what the law says in Canada, and it's a similar law in the U.S. Every party is entitled to have, like, let's say you walk into a polling station and there's 20 polls there and there's 20 people counting the votes. I'm allowed to have 20 people in there standing over the person counting the vote's shoulder. That's law. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And they're not allowed to refuse that.
That's now, all been brought up.
Right. Now, there's so many things being said of this quantum system and watermarks. But in my opinion, just the fact that there were hundreds of thousands of votes counted in Democrat cities, like you're talking Philadelphia. So how many poll? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about cities where the same people, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, that were out burning cities and destroying businesses and looting and calling for the decimation of police and attacking police. These same people were probably the people working in the polls in these cities because that's who lives there. That's, you know, and if it's the Democrat mayor that's in charge of a polling station, let's say, who's he going to pick? Who's he going to pick to go work in those polls? So if you wanted to fill in blank ballots, because that's the other phenomenon that's going on, is they're finding all these ballots where people only voted for the presidency. There's 20 things on the ticket. You got the presidency, maybe a congressperson, maybe a Senate race. You've got, I don't know, marijuana legislation. Let's say you've got minimum wage legislation. You've got county elections that happen sometimes on the same ballot. I mean, I had a friend of mine send me a ballot from a county in Miami, Clement County down in Miami. And there's president, there's representative to Congress, there's state senator. There's a state representative, then there's county commissioner, then there's prosecuting attorney, then there's for clerk of the court of common pleas, then there's a election for sheriff, county recorder, county treasurer, county engineer. I mean, they vote for everything down there. So there's like 25 different things you got to fill in. So I guess, you know, if you were in a rush and you had to make up 700,000 votes and you could get 700,000 votes delivered blank with nothing on them, you could probably manage to fill in one circle next to Joe Biden. And then that's how you end up with Congress being flipped to the, you know, I think it was four or five seats that were flipped back to the Republicans, and they only lost one seat in the Senate. And they held seats in the Senate where they spent $100 million in that state to defeat the incumbent in Kunt. And you're telling me that Trump lost that state? Come on.
Yeah. No. The irregularities are just so rampant and so in our face, Billy. There's no denying what's going on here. Even a person with an IQ of 20. I mean, a person in an institution could put the pieces together here, because it is right in our faces. That there's just not one or two reports of this. There's literally hundreds of them coming in, Billy. Hundreds. And I was told you might just see hundreds of lawsuits launched tomorrow. Not just a couple, but multitudes of lawsuits against multitudes of people. I think you're going to see Trump go right to war. And it's like I said in the first hour, this is not about Trump. This is about the rule of law. This is about the American judicial and election system and what it's going to be in the future. And it's under attack, and this has got to stop.
Well, it kind of is about Trump, because it is because of Trump that they've now engaged probably in the most massive voter fraud in the history of the planet.
Right.
You know, and what's funny, what I get a kick out of, is how the Canadian press is out there saying, oh, come on, American government goes all over the world to monitor elections. Yeah, it's the deep state that goes all over the world and manipulates elections to get more deep state actors in those countries.
Right. I agree. It is about Trump, and it's not about Trump, but it's about attacking, you know, the rule of law.
Right. Trump is upsetting the system.
It's all out attack on the rule of law.
Right. Well, Trump is upsetting the system is what I mean. If you hadn't had Trump there upsetting the system in the first place, you wouldn't have them in panic mode in the throes of death, just trying to pull off anything they can to beat the man. I mean, how do you explain? I mean, anyone who understands elections and politics, usually you can't win an election without a ground game. And you're going to tell me that a guy that hung out in his basement, who lost votes with minorities, who lost votes with women, like Trump gained with minorities and with women compared to 2016. So you're telling me that Biden, who hung out in his basement and did barely nothing, who had rallies with 25 people sitting in chalk circles, beat the guy that had 15,000 people at a rally in California?
Oh, bigger numbers than that. He had a couple of rallies. He had 10,000 people outside that couldn't get in.
Right.
And the numbers were right off the charts, but they never exposed that on mainstream. I mean, Billy, this is going. The fact that this is going on, it blows me away. But it's coming from the same people that brought us the Russian Gate, brought us the Mueller report, brought the indictments, brought the impeachment against the president. And where'd they all end up? In the garbage pile. And that's where this one's going to end up, Billy, because there's just absolutely no way that the judicial system in the United States of America, with the pressure that's going to be put on them, with blatant and sworn testimonies that are going to come forward, are going to be able to put the lid on this and deny the American people their legal rights. I can't see that happening. And the mainstream, sure, they are completely on board with what's going on right now, but they're going to be forced to expose this, because when this comes forward, it will be on everybody's table as a conversation. Well, I believe that's coming.
They called Arizona early Tuesday night with the sole intention of discouraging Trump voters. In other words, oh my goodness, we lost Arizona. So if you're voting in California and Arizona comes in an hour before your poll closes and you're standing in line, or in Portland or in Oregon, and you find out that Trump just lost Arizona, and I might have to stand in line here for another 2.5 hours, screw that, I'm going home. Pardon my language, but.
Yeah. You know, Billy, all day long I've been getting links coming in, and, you know, they're coming from different organizations about whistleblowers coming forward. And what's happening here now is that one or two are coming forward, and the rest are having the guts to come forward. There apparently is 60 ready to come forward tomorrow with sworn testimony. And those are the numbers that I got earlier today, and I'm seeing links all day long pop up on my computer that whistleblowers are coming forward. Another story about it, another story here. There's all kinds of them coming forward today. Are they all bull? I don't think so, Billy. I don't think so.
Well, you'll see the big...
I think the lid's going to come off this.
Right, well, you'll see the big difference between this. Because what I get a kick out of is, is the Biden supporters, and they're not really Biden supporters. It's more Trump haters. Like, I don't think Biden won the election because he was so popular. He won, like, quote unquote, won the election. It's the Trump haters. And the difference between this time and last time, I mean, anyone that's saying that we're conspiracy theorists, this, that, and the other thing, or we're just sore losers, I'm sorry. Last election, you guys accused Trump of rigging the election with the help of Russia. And that narrative carried on for 2 years with zero proof, zero evidence. That's why it didn't go to court, and that's why Trump was named president the night of, and that's why Hillary Clinton conceded, because their Russia narrative, they knew they didn't have any proof, and there was nothing that was going to happen, and they couldn't say anything. They couldn't do anything. Now, here, what's different is the mainstream media is out there saying there's no proof for the first 2 days, and then on the third day, fourth day, fifth day, all of a sudden, you got Fox News, Maria Bartiromo with General Flynn's lawyer on national television explaining what the proof they have is. Breitbart yep. News is putting the proof out there.
Yep.
And the mainstream media just pretty much committed treason. Now, is it the person out in front of the camera that's going to be arrested for treason? I don't know. Or is it the person in the newsroom that controls what they okay. say?
Yeah.
Because they had no business at all calling Joe Biden the president-elect. They should know. There's a full process in place after the election. I mean, from mid-November to December 14th, the governor of each state is supposed to prepare what's called certificates of ascertainment, as soon as practicable is called. And it says, after the election results are available and the states are certified, the governor sends one of these original certificates of ascertainment to the archivist. So in all reality, they've got till December 14th to do this in each state. Hmm. By December 8th, they're supposed to resolve any controversies that there are. But if there are any controversies, well, you can't announce a president until at least December 8th. Now, I'm Canadian living in rural Nova Scotia, and I know this. I can go find these laws, and I can go find these procedures and how they work. You're telling me that CNN and CBC and CBS and Fox News don't know it? So it means they're intentionally out there putting it out to the American public and to the whole world that Joe Biden's the president-elect. Now, what happens if this were overturned? What happens? And I think it will. Like, everything they counted with the windows barred up and the doors locked should be discounted. And I think the Supreme Court is going to look at that and tell you that Trump has a valid argument because their poll watchers were not allowed in. And by law, they're supposed to be there.
These are blatant breaking laws, blatantly, and right. just snubbing. They're snubbing the nose at the whole system right now. They're breaking laws left, right, and center. And like I said, Billy, this is gonna. I've got to believe that there's still enough good people in the United States of America that are right now just as mad as you and I are about this whole situation. And everybody else that voted for Trump in the United States of America, there's dynamite just waiting for a fuse to be lit right now. And I'll tell you, we don't know how it's all going to play out. But if he is allowed to go forward and become the president of the United States, number one, all my faith in Trump would be gone. If I had any faith in him as being the last person in line against the total takeover by the New World Order of our planet, because it would tell me that he is a complete player, just like the rest of them. I believe that this is going to stop. That would speak volumes, wouldn't it, Billy? Because this is so in our face that it's so criminal, so corrupt, that if it isn't corrected, then we are going to lose all freedoms, and it will happen at light speed if this man ever manages to take power, because it won't be him. He'll step down a month after he's inaugurated, and Kamala Harris will be the president of the United States of America, and Nancy Pelosi's going to be her vice president. What a great scenario that would be, eh, Billy?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was explaining that. I'm in that Fox is dead, and I was telling them that. I was like, either we're right and it will play out where it will be contested and it'll be overturned and Trump will be president. I was like, but if it doesn't, we should prepare for that because we've all just put our heads out on a silver platter for them over the last 3.5 years with our YouTube channels and our tweets and our QAnon stuff and you name it. Well, we've all got big targets on our backs now. And Kamala Harris actually said it out plain and in public that they have to go after Trump supporters if they win, because Trump supporters don't belong in the United States of America. So I don't know. I don't know what that meant, but she said it. So we'll see what happens. And if you get Biden there, and then you got Trudeau in power with Jagmeet Singh in Canada, like I was, what's her name? Flynn's lawyer. Today she was saying that in Minnesota, Himan Omar, and Project Veritas reported on this too. Project Veritas has a video on it where Himan Omar was actually paying people to sign off on blank ballots, and then they'd fill it in the way they wanted to.
Yep. That's all going to come out, Billy.
If it doesn't, I agree with you. If it doesn't, if all this stuff is not exposed for the whole world to see, it means that the last 4 years has been one big psyop to identify patriots for the globalist takeover of the planet, which is pretty much described in the book Revelation.
Yeah, and you know, I think everybody in the Shake and Wake chat room would agree with what we just said, because they're all Trump haters over there. But you know what? It could be the biggest psyop ever played on the human race, Billy. We don't know what goes on at the highest levels of meetings, you know, with the Club of Rome and the Bilderberg Group and the Council of Foreign Relations and all these other organizations, what's really going on behind the doors in these meetings. But we do know that Justin Trudeau did have a two-hour closed-door meeting with George Soros in Davos with no reporters and nobody else allowed in the meeting. And I'm sure they didn't talk about their children, Billy, that what we see going on in Canada is just an extension of what we see going on right around the world right now. The only good thing I see happening right now is a mass awakening of people, especially in Europe, where none of it's being reported on mainstream, the millions and millions of people now that are going to the streets. You see the confrontation between the British police and the British citizens yesterday over denying them access to memorials for Remembrance Day. And then they actually threw a guy with bagpipes, the police, right to the ground. Well, what are you going to do when you do that in front of a crowd of patriotic British people? You're going to incite a riot, and that's what happened, Billy. I don't know if you've seen that video, but it was absolutely disgusting.
No, I didn't see that.
I just watched it before I came on the air here, and it was absolutely disgusting the way they took this guy with bagpipes who had served in the Second World War, was 84 years old, was on the bagpipes, and the police threw him to the ground right in front of a group of patriotic British people. What's going to happen? You know, they're at edge right now because of the lockdowns. Well, they're trying to incite this violence, folks.
I'll tell you what, if that happened in our legion, let's say,
You'd be killing the police. You'd want to go kill them. You would. That's a natural reaction.
I'm pretty sure all legionnaires and all their kids, it would be an immediate mass thumping. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, that would be the
reaction. It wouldn't take a massive, though. It would only take probably not even a handful. But yeah, it would be disastrous for the police officer that did it.
Well, just an example of the crap we see going on all over the place, Billy. It's just inciting violence, inciting violence, inciting violence. But it's all part of the agenda. The one book that I did read that really kind of helps me understand a lot about what's going on in the world today is The Communist Manifesto. And I made myself sit down and read that book. I can't remember everything I read in the book, but it really kind of just hit home on how all this is being implemented on society, the mechanisms they're using, and kind of explains really what's going on in our world today. It's something that everybody should read. And really, if we look at it, Billy, we're in 1937 Germany right now, almost to the T. And we know where that ended up. But the duplications of what's going on in our society are almost identical. Because they're using the same agenda over and over again. Why? Because it's worked in the past. So why would you not use something that works?
And they have a vast network. Their network extends. They're all over the place. You know how the mainstream media parroted this foreign interference when Trump won. Yep. You know, Russia had influenced people with memes on Facebook, right? Remember that? You must remember that whole.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so the Toronto Sun prints an article. Now, the Toronto Sun is supposed to be our quote unquote right leaning newspaper in Canada, correct?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They posted an article. It's by Warren Kinsella. Now, Warren Kinsella was the liberal operative Actually, I'm not sure if he's not even a conservative opera, but anyway, he blocked me on Twitter. He paid. He was the guy that had that was being paid and had his employees to dig up dirt on the People's Party of Canada and put that out in the media during the 2019 federal election in Canada. Well, he wrote an op-ed and put it in the Toronto Sun where he admits that he's been a volunteer for the Democrats and he goes down to the United States every federal election to help get out the vote for the Democrats. And this year, because of COVID-19, he did a lot of work prior to the election because of the mail-in ballots and the absentee ballot situation. He helped with phone calls in the American election to help get Joe Biden elected and admits this in this article from the Toronto Sun. Now, Isn't that some form of foreign interference in an election? Like, I didn't know we were allowed to do that. Like, I didn't know I could get an American to come to Richmond County with, you know, with me and go campaigning for me on the campaign trail. Like,
but the laws only apply to us, Billy. The laws don't apply to them. You got to know that by now.
I get it, but I mean, the Toronto. And the end of the article, it says, Kinsella worked as a volunteer for Joe Biden and the Democrats in several U.S. states. So do you...
Wow. Well, you know, dual Justin Trudeau, he's just licking his lips right now. Boy, if Biden ever got control of the states, oh my God.
Right, well, Justin Trudeau is looking for jobs, and Aaron O'Toole is sending congratulations. The president or prime minister of Mexico, I'm not sure what they have, is president of Mexico. He's not congratulating Biden because he says it's being contested in the court of law. I can't congratulate him now. It'd be premature.
But O'Toole sent Biden congratulations. I didn't know that.
Yes, O'Toole sent Biden congratulations.
What a tool.
Yep. Maxime Bernier is refusing to do it so far because it's being contested, which is the right thing to do. It's the responsible thing to do. And the media didn't do it. So like I say, imagine, okay, for George Floyd, where they rioted and burnt down cities for 3 months in some cases for something that wasn't proven in court. And we're finding out what kind of character he was. Yeah. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. What they did might not have been right. But when you watch the full footage from start to end, from the time the cops get there with the body cams and everything else, it's a much different picture than the mainstream media painted for us. Mm-hmm. So if they rioted like that for that, imagine if they go 30 days or 45 days thinking that Joe Biden is the next president. And then Amy Coney Barrett cast the deciding vote at the Supreme Court saying, the last 300,000 votes in Philadelphia, we're not going to count those because that wasn't done legally. And the last 200,000 votes in Wisconsin, we're not going to count those either because those were counted illegally. And the 200,000 in Michigan that came in late, we're not going to count those either because they were counted illegally. We have a president of the United States. It's Donald Trump. What do you think is going to happen?
All hell is going to break loose, Billy, and that's in the works, my friend. And I think it's all part of a plan, a master, sinister plan.
Right.
When you start peeling back the layers, you really start to understand it, Billy. And you've got a real good grip on this, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is if you want to expose, if you want Americans to really build disgust with a party that they've trusted, prove to them that they tampered with your election.
Yeah.
Prove to them that the very fundamental thing that you build your democracy on, that they've been screwing around with it, and that the will of the people has not really been the will of the people all these years, especially in this kind of situation. Well, I think you'll even get a lot of Democrats that might wake up and go, and the only ones that will be left to be put into mental institutions because they'll have complete meltdowns are the ones on the absolute left. I mean, hey, how angry are Trump supporters? How angry must Trump supporters be right now? Have we heard any reports of Republican cities or Republican counties on fire or looting buildings or attacking police or...
Yeah, Watch that flip when they announce Biden as a president.
Right, but my God, Billy. There's none of it there, but Trump supporters are deplorables. And BLM and Antifa, well, they're peaceful protesters, even though they're burning buildings and killing cops. They're peaceful protesters, but Trump supporters are deplorables. So we get an election stolen from us, there's proof of it, and there's not one single Democrat building burning anywhere? and you call us deplorables. Mm. Well, that seems ironic.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario, but it's one that could really play out real easily, Billy, because, you know, there's always a plan behind the plan behind the plan, and they've always got a backup plan to the plan. So,
right.
You know, we're kind of peeling back the layers here, and, you know, maybe somebody in the audience has got a different idea about how it's all going. But what we're doing right now is just kind of putting seeds into people's brains as to how all this could play out and what really is at stake right now. And what's at stake, like I said in the first hour, man, it's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Freedom.
What's come? Freedom. All our freedoms gone. And, in Canada right now, Billy, I walked into the mall yesterday in Terrace here, and 75, maybe 80% had masks on. I've watched videos in Saskatoon of the malls where 95% of the people, even higher, are walking around with masks on. We got a real problem here, buddy. We really do, because these people are going to be the first ones that are going to roll up the sleeve when the government tells them they've got to take a vaccine. There's going to be a line drawn in the sand there that I don't think that will ever happen in Canada. I believe enough good Canadians will stand up against it. But it's just an example of how far they will go with this tyranny, this new level of power they have over people, man. They're drunk with power, Billy.
And the people that roll up their sleeves to get the vaccine will also report anyone who refuses to in a heartbeat. So then if they really want to go far enough, like someone sent me an article from May. It was May or June. And it was from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, I believe, where four people who had gone against COVID-19 rules were thrown into one of those isolation camps in Regina. Now, I've spoken about these isolation camps where the government is putting out tenders for COVID-19. What is it they call it? Yeah, COVID-19 isolation camps is what they're calling them. Mm-hmm. And it's tenders to provide, like, cater to these places. And to my knowledge, I mean, every province is listed in this tender.
Yeah, so listed out there.
And it doesn't really say it's for international travelers. Plus, we're already dealing with international travelers. So what are these new centers you speak of? Where are they being built and what purpose are they for? And all it says is COVID-19 related matters. And then you hear about this. It's like, okay, so what, if I don't wear a mask and I cause a disturbance at Tim Hortons, you're going to throw me into a concentration camp? Is it like, an isolation camp?
Billy, I just hope that they put us in the same camp, so at least we can have a conversation before they really bring down the agenda, because this is not about isolation camps at all, Billy. You know that, and I know that. They don't build isolation camps with double opposing barbed wire fences. You are locked down there. You cannot leave. And let me think now, Billy, if we look at history, when countries are being taken over by a communist coup, who are the first people they round up and put them and isolate them from society and put them in isolation camps? Who would be the first person they come after, Billy?
Opposition.
Of course, you and me. And anybody that speaks against the government narrative would all of a sudden be mysteriously rounded up. And you don't think this is going to happen in Canada, folks. You've got your head in the sand, because it can, and I believe it will happen, that anybody that's speaking against the narrative will all of a sudden be rounded up under maybe some contact tracing crap and taken to one of these camps, and maybe we're never heard of again. Oh, he died from a heart attack.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Who knows, Billy? That sounds really deep and nefarious, but it's not, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, they're already doing it in a virtual sense. If you look at the Canadian YouTubers that lost their channels 2 weeks ago, I mean, I even lost the French channel that I had set up. Yep. And all I had ever done on the French channel, I hadn't done a video in over a year. Yep. And the last thing I'd done on my French channel, all it was clips from the radio station that I manage, the show that I do every morning. Yep. And our license was just renewed for 7 years at that radio station. I've been working there for 10 years full time. Yep. I never, ever, there's certain lines I won't cross on the radio. There are things that I'd say on YouTube that I'd never say on the radio. But right. even that YouTube channel was taken down and removed, scrubbed from existing.
Oh, you.
So they're doing, Polly? Well, Amazing, yeah. Polly, she had Amazing over 250,000 subscribers.
Yeah, and Dan Dix, Dan Dix, 26,000 videos scrubbed and taken down, no explanation.
Yep, just gone. Yeah.
Gone.
So if they can do it virtually, what's coming next? I mean, they're talking, the Liberal government's talking, anyone that's going to do news online will have to have a license from the government. Yeah. So Spencer Fernando, for example, you go to SpencerFernando.com or FrankVaughn.ca, or these people are going to lose that portion of their livelihood unless they get licensed by the communists in power in Ottawa, Jacques Meetsing and Justin Trudeau. I mean, this could continue, this minority government situation with the Liberals and the NDP could continue in perpetuity if we don't start waking up Canadians.
Yes, we have no government in Canada. We have an oligarchy of communist individuals totally involved with the United Nations Agenda 2030 running our country. There is no opposition in Ottawa. The Conservatives are just as much on board as any other party. They just have a little lipstick on, Billy. That's all they have. But they're the same snake with a different head.
I came across that Canada 2020 about 2 years ago, and I think I've spoken to you about it, but man, mm-hmm. if Canadians have never gone to look at this Canada 2020, because people are fooled by this illusion that, oh, well, we have the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party and the Green Party and the NDP, and we have a real choice. But then you go look at what these people are doing behind the scenes. I was exposed to it throughout my career. Like right now, I manage a radio station, but I worked in economic development prior to that, and I traveled all over the country. And the organization that I was involved with brought me into a lot of the French communities across the country where the well-to-do French people were kind of controlling things. And that's when I realized that as much as there's an English system of control, there's also a French system of control, but they all work the same way. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by they all work the same way is it's all the same people that manipulate reality for people. They're the ones that organize and dump money into the machine. And it's usually, when you see it, it's usually liberal strongholds where you see this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, what I saw is these people oppose each other in the House. But when they leave, they're all at the Chateau Laurier drinking $200 bottles of wine and laughing about what they did that day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's backroom deals between these people, and they pretend to be in opposition for the charade that we call Parliament.
Well, it's a big party, Billy, and they've all got a ticket, and they know it.
And this Canada, this Canada 2020 is like what they call a think tank. And when you go see who the attendees are to this Canada 2020 and it's shaping the future, and it seemed almost to me as though Canada was being set up to govern North America with Montreal as its headquarters, is what it kind of gave me the impression it was. Because what you'd have is you'd have the Conservatives, so Aaron O'Toole, Peter McKay, Candace Bergen, who was the last guy? Andrew Scheer. The only guy I've never seen in photos there that was a prominent conservative at one point was Maxime Bernier. I've never seen him in the pictures at Canada 2020. Mm-hmm. But I have seen, like, Michel Rempel has been there. And then for the Liberals, you've always seen people like Justin Trudeau, and you've seen, his whole cabinet, all of them, you know, Bill Mietz, right? They're all there, Catherine McKenna. But you've also got the brass of the Conservative Party at this Canada 2020. But when you look at the international guests that go to Canada 2020 to shape the future of Canada, it's only left-leaning. You're like, Trump has never been there. Mike Pence has never been there. Jim Jordan's never been there. But yet people like David Axelrod have been there. Barack Obama's been there. James Comey has been there. John Podesta was a keynote speaker 1 year. Hillary Clinton spoke there. Yeah. Bill Clinton spoke there. The mayor of London, what's his name? The mayor of Frigg, I forget his name.
I know his name.
You know who I'm thinking of, though.
Of course. He's there.
Yeah, the mayor of London's been there. So it's a long list of globalists with both liberal conservatives. Jacques Meetsing's been there. The NDP are represented. You know, so it's like you look at it and you're like, man, it's all a charade. They control everything from behind the scenes, and they control the media, and they control every bit of information that 95% of Canadians consume.
Exactly.
So now Canadians.
If you control the media, Billy, you control the narrative.
Well, you control the narrative and you control the reality that people believe exists. when in reality, the reality is a construct. And it's just a horrible situation to witness, knowing that most people aren't even aware of it.
Well, I've got a sweatshirt on. Billy has a picture of Jimmy Jones on the front, and Jimmy's saying, don't drink the Kool-Aid. And on the bottle of Kool-Aid is a sign that says COVID-19. And people ask me, what does that mean? But it opens an opportunity to kind of get engaged in conversations. You know who I'm finding is really receptive to conversations now is young people, Billy. They seem to be yearning for information. I've gotten conversations with total strangers, young guys. They look at my sweater and, what does that mean? One guy says, who's Jimmy Jones? I said, well, you're probably too young to remember what Jonestown was all about. It happened, I think it was in the 70s, Jonestown happened. I think the number was 378. I believe Billy all drank cyanide-laced Kool-Aid almost simultaneously, all died, because Jimmy told them they're all going to go to heaven. And I explained it to him. He says, what's that got to do with COVID-19? I said, well, if you're going home every night and all you're listening to information for what's going on with this virus and how the government's handling it and how the health officials are handling this, then you're drinking the Kool-Aid because you're only hearing one side of the story. And then I explained to him that there's been literally around the world, and I'm not exaggerating, I believe the number's in thousands now of doctors around the world that have come forward and spoken out vehemently against what wearing a mask does to society, what social distancing does to society, what self-quarantine yourself and everything else they're doing to us, what effect that has on people and what effect that has on our society. It's going to take a decade to repair the damage that's already done, believe it or not. What we're doing to our children, making them wear masks, it is absolutely ludicrous because this virus, if you look at the numbers, doesn't affect children in any shape or form. All we're dealing with is a flu virus, but you look at the power of the mainstream media and what they've done with this, Billy. And you look at the connections to Chinese Communist Party and how they run the World Health Organization. And then you look at the background of Theresa Tam and her connection to the Chinese Communist Party. And the gentleman that's running the World Health Organization, you look at his background. And if people just took a couple hours and did that, their whole perspective about what they're hearing from the government would change. But they don't seem to be able to do that. Billy, why is that? This is a pretty critical issue, and it doesn't take long on the internet to find out what I just talked about. You can look into a few of these things, and you'll find out what I'm telling you is the truth. Why can't people spend a couple hours when it's having such a detrimental effect on our society? My question, are we that apathetic? Are we that complacent now as a society? Well, Canadians are pretty soft, Billy. We've never had a war in Canada. You know, we've never experienced what they've experienced in Europe or Germany or any of those countries that have experienced war. You know, we've always been soft. We've always been the loving nation over here. And to me, we're just a soft underbelly right now.
Or even in the United States, where they fought each other and they were members.
Yeah, but we've never experienced anything really like that in Canada. Sure, we had a little bit of a
skirmish
in Upper Canada, Lower Canada, a few wars, minor wars in 1860s and 70s and in and around that era. I don't have my history book in front of me, but we've never seen what they've experienced in Europe. And Canadians never, you know, I guess they just don't believe that this can happen in Canada, that, you know, we're in Canada. This is a land of the free and strong, and nothing like that could ever happen in Canada. But we're really close to a communist coup right now, buddy.
What's interesting is they're talking information war, but that information war has been going on in Canada probably for 100 years. For 100 years now in Canada, that information war has been pitting the French against the English and pitting the First Nations against everybody else and pitting – you know, pitting Ontario against Quebec and pitting the West against the East. And, you know, there's nothing more discouraging than you go online and you see fellow patriots in Alberta insulting Maritimers or vice versa, or, you know, people in British Columbia insulting people in the West because they don't agree on pipeline issues. You know, it's like they've managed to turn us all against each other rather than looking at what we could do to render Canada self-sufficient, so that we're paying very little for our basic necessities, like our electricity and like gas for our vehicles. I mean, if people think that Biden's going to be the solution, well, let's say Biden does, and I don't think he will, but let's say he does for a minute. Let's say he does become president. Have people been enjoying lower gas prices since Trump's been president? I know that to me here, the gas prices have been down ever since Trump. Before Trump became president, we were up over $1.30 or $1.40 a liter.
Yep.
And I'd say for a good 2 years now, we've been below a buck.
Mm-hmm.
So do people not see that? Do people not enjoy the fact that we had peace between the Koreas, that, you know, North Korea hasn't been sending ballistic missiles here, there, and everywhere? Like, do people aren't happy with that? People aren't happy with peace deals between Israel and Saudi Arabia, and they're not happy that international flights are now flying to Saudi Arabia and into Dubai from Israel, something that's never been seen before. People aren't happy with that. People aren't happy that our soldiers aren't fighting useless wars anymore. I can almost guarantee you that if Biden does end up president, ISIS will have the biggest resurgence you've ever heard of. Syria is going to explode again. North Korea is going to go all crazy again. And you may very well see them set up some sort of World War III with China just because, just for fun, just for kicks, because the military-industrial complex has been losing too much money.
Mm. Now, you look at the situation in the South China Sea right now, Billy. That's a tinderbox, literally a tinderbox. It would take nothing to start a war there right now. They're all rattling their sabers at each other. Crazy, man. Crazy. China's really provoking. It's like they want a war.
Well, I figure with Biden, they might get one.
Well, yeah, exactly. What's going to stop them is if Biden becomes president.
But he'll declare war presidentially, though. He'll be very presidential about it when he announces it.
This is for the better of all.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing this because we love you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've heard that a few times, haven't we?
Yeah. I prefer Trump that says, your little red button doesn't work, my big red one does.
Well.
Come on over, President Trump. We're going to sign a peace deal. You can walk across the demilitarized zone. Come on over. You scared me half to death.
I have to maintain that, you know, to get to where Trump is right now, that there is some kind of a backdoor deal being made somewhere. But Trump's a businessman. I don't believe he supports the globalist agenda. But you don't get to where he is, Billy, without making a deal somewhere with someone. And that's always been a nagging thought in my mind. You know, what really could be going on, really, really going on deep behind the curtains that, you know, we're not privy to. You know, we're dealing with some pretty crazy people in this world, and they're psychotic, man, and there's nothing really beyond the realm of their playbook. So I'm always kind of apprehensive. But to say that I don't like what Trump has done in the United States, I've looked at what he's done since he's become president. He's the first president ever to uphold about, what are the numbers, 92% of the promises he made, he has kept to the American people. Any president prior to that has never gotten over 50% of the promises made during an election campaign and actually kept those promises to the American people. Now, whether this is all a charade or not, that is a really, really deep question, but I'm always going to be a little bit standoffish. Yeah, I have to be. I got to stay outside the box.
Right. Well, I agree with you.
You know where I'm coming from. Because we really aren't privy to the deals being made at the highest levels in our world right now.
Right. Either way, like I'm not privy to, okay, well, did they have watermarked ballots that we're not aware of and they got them red-handed? Or is this all just the Hegelian dialect being played out and was the last 4 years nothing more than a psyop to identify those of us who will not comply to the globalist agenda, thus making it easy for them to identify us when they implement it? Because we'll be the ones on the radar. We'll be the ones with the warnings all over our files. And the minute we step out of line a little bit, we'll get picked up and tried and sent off to these isolation camps for not obeying our globalist dictators.
And we will be reprogrammed, or we will. Well, I'm 66, Billy. I'm probably a non-entity. I could be explained off as a heart attack real easy. And who would ever question it, of course, you know, because these guys love us. These isolation camps, man, if that doesn't get Canadians really looking into what's going on in this country, because that's unprecedented. That's never happened in this country before. And try to explain it off to protect people from a virus, like we said, Billy, that they can't isolate. Health Canada came out and stated they cannot isolate this virus, that it mutates so quickly going from human to human. And now they're going to bring out a vaccine and tell the whole country they've got to take it for a virus that affects 99.9% of the people have no effect from this virus at all. That such a small percentage of our population are affected, and the population that is affected is elderly. Well, that's the same thing with any kind of virus or any kind of illness that comes into society. The most susceptible are elder people. So when this thing started, Billy, those are the people that we should have been protecting. none of this lockdown stuff should ever happen. Look what happened in Sweden, Billy. They looked out. They didn't lock down anybody. They didn't have any of these draconian laws put in. They completely let society go the way it was, and their case number is down to zero, almost zero now. Why? Because it's called herd immunity, and it's real. Go ahead, Billy.
No, I agree with you. There's not too much to say there.
Well, I'm just bringing up points. You know, Sweden didn't do a thing. And, you know, look at what's happened to the economy in Canada. This prime minister, folks, has borrowed more money in the last 4.5, 5 months than all prime ministers in Canadian history combined. Through the war, through everything.
I'd also be curious. I wish I had the money that I could afford to go see which companies made the most money off of all these measures that were put in place. For example, mask manufacturers.
Yeah, and hand sanitizers.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to see what their ties are to the Liberal government, for example. Because I've heard that Trudeau has done a lot of that, where he's contracted out projects and grants and monies to people that are at the heads of organizations. And there are people that are Liberal, that are the contributors to the Liberal Party.
Are you telling me, Billy, they're corrupt? Come on,
Look at Jagmeet Singh. Jagmeet Singh, when SNC-Lavalin was going on, was freaking out about government corruption. But when Trudeau shuts down, basically wants to shut it all down for the Wee scandal, he shut down those committees there. He shut down Parliament and thus all the investigations. Then they voted to shut down these investigations into the Wee scandal, and Jagmeet Singh votes with him because Trudeau makes, you want something for the NDP? Here you go. Let's shut down these Wee scandal investigations. And Jagmeet Singh, okay. And then what we don't know is, what were the backroom deals there? Was there $250,000 in an envelope handed to Jagmeet Singh? Would we ever know? Would anyone ever tell us? Would the CBC journalists that they just wined and dined with, cocktails and shrimp and scallops and steak and $200 wine, would those journalists tell us that there are backroom deals going on, even if they knew that it was happening? Do you think the CBC would risk all that funding? I doubt it.
Well, they completely control the media. There's only 8 families in this world, Billy, that control all our media narrative and everything that we hear. I mean, how many times have we seen examples of that where a news article come up on ABC and the same identical words, word for word or verbatim, are broadcast across the whole country? That alone should tell people what's going on inside our media, that it's completely controlled and you'll never hear the other side of the story. That's the biggest enemy we have right now, is the media.
And
the The CBC disgusts me because there is never any contrary narrative to what the government is saying, period. We have to change that, man. They control the media. We have a big problem.
Well, I've taken a hiatus there from YouTube and stuff, but I'm considering getting started again on BitChute, just doing it under a different format, because we got to get the word out as much as we can and by whatever means we can. Something's got to change, and if people aren't made aware of what's going on, if this isn't obvious, my 12-year-old, since the night of the election, every day she'd look at the TV and say, she's like, Daddy, how does that make sense that they can't count 5 million votes in Nevada? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, especially when you consider they counted 11 million in Florida the day of the election.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well, Billy, this has never happened before. Never in an election has this happened, what we see going on right now. Come on, folks. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It really doesn't. They're not going to get away with it, Billy. I'm going to maintain that. They're just not going to get away from it. This is too big, and too many people are going to come forward. Donald Trump right now is in meetings, I believe, around the clock, and his legal team is rallying. The lawsuits are in place, and this is all going to get blown wide open this week. I honestly believe that. And like I said, I had a conversation with a couple guys in the States here about this, and they really they tend to believe the same thing. So we're going to sit back and watch what goes on here, Billy. We've got to be positive about this, because this is beyond anything I've seen in my life.
I agree. And if it is, well, get your popcorn, because, man, things. We thought the Democrats and the left wingers around the world were bad after 2016. If this is actually overturned, then it shows that Trump won in a landslide, and they can prove that there was hundreds of thousands of illegal ballots cast for Joe Biden, and you actually see the red wave. Well, that's it. And I mean, we're joking, but we should also pray, because I honestly fear that a lot of these people will be suicidal. And we need to pray for them. Now, we have to be the calm through this, because we kind of see the writing on the wall. And if it does happen, we will have seen it happen. And I mean, some people are like, well, Billy, aren't you upset if Trump loses? I'm like, I don't really care, because at the end of the day, my team wins. I'm more than happy to sing Amazing Grace as some Democrat lifts the guillotine. Like, I don't care. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in the grand scheme of things.
Amen, Billy. Amen.
You know what I mean? Like, if some left winger who thrives and who lives and gets their joy from killing unborn babies in the womb and supporting every single depravity that there is and supports looting and burning down cities, I mean, if someone like that wants to cut my head off because I'm against those things, well, I'll sing Amazing Grace while they're doing it. Because as a Christian, my job is to stand up for the truth. And the truth is right now that there isn't a new president-elect in the United States. There's just the media's version of one. Mm-hmm. And right now they are all lying, because there's a process in place when there's a legal legal dispute, they have no business calling the election. It's a form of treason. Because they're undermining the system. They're undermining the process.
Absolutely, Billy. And like I said, I think we're going to see some pretty interesting things happen this week. As a matter of fact, I know we're going to see some interesting things happen. So,
well, either way, it's going to be interesting.
Get your popcorn and get ready for the show. Because you're right, Billy. We could see chaos really, really erupt. We thought it was bad here in the last 3 or 4 months. There's lots of factions and groups right now just sitting back waiting for the word go. And nothing is off the playbook with these people. We've seen what they're capable of doing. And let's just hope it doesn't get crazy, but I can see it going that way. And what's going to be the end result of that, Billy? Martial law, full lockdown of society? What would stop a complete flip on society if we ever got to that point? You know, all of a sudden we wake up and guess what, guys? I was lying to you. Gotcha. That's a possibility. Always got to keep our minds open to all possibilities when we're talking about this, Billy, because it can go lots of different ways. I went out in the woods and walked today, and I kind of sat for about an hour and just looked around me and touched the ground and played with my dog and threw the stick for a bit. People, you got to do that now, because we are being bombarded with information from so many different avenues that a lot of people are really feeling the overload that you feel and I feel, Billy. You got to step back, folks, and just take a deep breath. Everything is not as it appears, believe me.
Well, we feel it, Barry, but at the same time, what I'd suggest is when people are out on their walk or out enjoying nature or out whatever, try to connect with your savior. Because bottom line is, at the end, when it's all said and done, and this is my belief, and I'll say this on the radio station that I manage, I'll say this on YouTube, and I'll say it here, repent and be right with God. Because we don't know what kind of times we're heading into. But one thing you can be sure of is that if you're covered by the blood of Jesus, well, it doesn't matter what happens, because in the end you win. And that's the way I feel. Ultimately, when it really boils down to it, would I like to see, you know, peace on earth and pedophile rings being picked up and corruption being cleaned up and corrupt politicians going to Guantanamo Bay? And would I love to see that? I would, absolutely. Do I think that's what's going to happen? Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe we're in for a reprieve and give the earth a break before all hell breaks loose, as described in the book of Revelation. But eventually we're going to get to what is in the book of Revelation. And if you're washed in the blood of that song, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, it doesn't matter who's president, it doesn't matter who's prime minister, it doesn't matter who's pope or who's king of this or who's king of that. You've got one king, you've got one savior, and there's only one way that's the right way, and that's Jesus' way.
Amen, Billy. And, boy, it's been a good conversation. This hour is almost gone on us, buddy. I knew this was going to go quick.
It's unbelievable.
Well, it does. The same thing. The first hour I had Frank in, and the hour just seemed to go by in 5 minutes. And I had, like I said, I had a list with Frank in the first hour, a couple things I wanted to talk to him, and I never got to number three. I hit number two on the list, but never even got to number three, and there was about six things on the list I wanted to talk to him about. So, you know, maybe we should do these a little longer, but we only have the hour, and we're going to be out of time here in a couple minutes. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes to share a few last thoughts with people and where they can reach you. I know your YouTube is shut down now, but any other avenues of social media people can reach you, please share that with us, and I'll have to shut out the show for the week.
Yeah, well, I'm not fully active on BitChute, but on BitChute, like, it's not as simple as YouTube, or it was /Billy Joyce. On BitChute, you literally have to search for Billy Joyce, Canada's Red Pill. And it's pretty much all one word with no apostrophes. So that's kind of complicated. But BitChute, Canada's Red Pill. I'm probably going to start doing videos again this week. And then on Twitter, it's just at Billy Joyce, capital B, capital J, 1976. That's the year I was born. Billy Joyce, 1976 on Twitter. On Facebook, just do a search for Billy Joyce and you'll see... I've probably got a profile with my goatee, and I've got Canada's Red Pill artwork for my background on Facebook. But what I said earlier about Jesus is probably how I would wrap up this show. And let's just see what happens, because I there's a big part of me that believes that they set up a sting operation and they caught them with their pants down. And they caught them with their pants down at doing, you know, trying to manipulate the very basis of democracy. If you want to wake people up and you want to turn people off the Democrats, show them that they were trying to mess with their election. And I think that might be very well what the end game was to catch them in this. And then after they catch them in this, they can declassify everything else on everything else, because people will be like, well, if they're going to mess with an election, what else wouldn't they mess with? So you may very well see the declassification of all the FISA abuse. I'm not sure about 9/11, but I think something on Benghazi might be declassified. Mm. So interesting times. The next month is going to be very, very, very interesting.
It is so, Billy, and there's so much that needs to be exposed, and hopefully some of it will start to come out, because it really does have to. If we're ever going to heal as a nation, as a planet, this has to be exposed. It has to be brought forward.
I agree.
You're correct. You know, Billy, I agree with you. I start my day with prayer every day, and I ask my Lord Jesus for strength, wisdom, and courage, because I know I'm going to need all three going forward, that we're in crazy times right now. But it's what my book tells me about, and, you know, I find solace in understanding what it tells me about what's happening right now and what to expect in the future. My life here is just a fleeting moment in time. My soul and my eternity is priority on my list, and I'm not going to sacrifice that or risk it for anything. That I really am seeking him in every aspect of my life. And whether that works for you folks or you don't agree with what we're saying, I stand in my truth at this point in my life. Nothing else is more important. So thanks for joining me, Billy. Always a pleasure joining. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Barry. If I had one last thing to say to people, check out Donald Trump's Twitter feed.
There you go. Okay, folks, our time is up. My hours are over. And thanks for joining this week. It's been a pleasure as always. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversations. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I know Roger Landry is demanding time next week with me, so I'm going to have him in and another guest. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. See you guys then, and have a great week. Thanks again to People's Internet Radio and Shake and Wake for carrying the shows, and to Steve for putting up with me every week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.